Thank you. Again, we continue our series of studies on the Spirit-filled life, and we are dealing now with the gifts of the Spirit. And you'll excuse me if I again say some things by way of repetition, and yet I believe that we need to have it repeated in this fact that all the gifts of the Spirit are given for one purpose, for the edification of the body of Christ. The Spirit of God is sovereign in the place we have in the body. The Spirit of God is sovereign in the bestowal of gifts. And the purpose of the gifts are for edification. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, we have gifted men who are given to prepare God's people for the work of ministering. And then each individual person in the body of Christ has a gift. And we were dealing with these gifts spoken of in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, reading and from verse 8. And allow me to read those verses again. For I read, to one is given the spirit of wisdom, the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills, that as the Spirit of God wills. I think I need to press that today. The Spirit of God is sovereign in the bestowal of gifts. We said the word of wisdom was possibly the pastor's gift. The word of knowledge could be the gift of the teacher. And then we have the third one, to another faith by the same Spirit. Now, it's true that all believers have faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. But here he's talking about gifted men of faith. Men who've got a special gift of faith. And it's given here as a gift. For example, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's true of all believers. But there's such a thing as a gift of faith. We take George Mueller, for example, who raised thousands of orphans in Wales, in Great Britain, and he never asked anybody for a penny. He just went inside of his office, closed the door, and asked the Lord how much he wanted. And someone said to him one day, well, Mr. Mueller, which was the hardest thing to ask for, £100,000 or a small gift? He said, the hardest test for me was when I asked the Lord for my first £10 to take care of these youngsters. But he grew, and I believe in a certain sense, as he walked before God, faith increased. No, if I were to talk to you about the sovereignty of God, or the majesty of God, the greatness of our God, the sovereignty of God and all that, you would say, that's wonderful, that's what I believe. But when I tell you that, for example, that by the means of prayer you can touch omnipotence, you kind of smile and say, well, that's true. That is, you believe the doctrine. But has it ever entered into your life? Now, I sometimes believe that this gift of faith, the Spirit of God gives to that heart, which is daring to believe God, that whatever he says, he will surely perform. And then there's the gift of healing. And I'm going to come back to that after a while. I'm going to take up this question of healing. There's no question about the results. If one has the gift of healing, there's no question about the results. Our Lord healed all who came unto him. Nobody was ever turned away. Irrespective of the disease, he healed them. And if one has the gift of healing, you would have the same experience. Now, most of us, if not all of us men who are teaching the Word of God and believe it, preaching it, I think possibly every godly pastor has had the experience of praying for his people, and some have been healed, and many have not been healed. In fact, I have buried some people who were supposed to be healed of the very disease that took their life. But the gift of healing is different. The gift of healing is something that I believe is a gift of the Spirit of God, and that if you have the gift of healing, irrespective of the disease, they'd be healed. But I'll come back to that after a while. And then she has the gift of, of miracles, the working of miracles. Now, I believe that the working of miracles would possibly be especially used in the early church. You see, is it possible today? I can't limit God on that. If God wants to use a person in the question of miracles, I'm sure he can do it. The same Spirit is indwelling every believer. And if a man is indwelt by the Spirit of God and yielded to the Spirit of God, a life lived in the Spirit, a life lived before God, it's not surprising that God will perform miracles. I think all of us have had experiences where God performed the miraculous. He doesn't always do it, but there are times when he does do it. And as you walk with God, he'll do it. The question of prophecy. Do all prophesy to another as the gift of prophecy? Now, there's a certain sense in which prophecy was used to foretell future events. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and possibly the disciples. You take the Apostle Paul, certainly prophesied. The epistles, you take 2 Peter, you take Revelation. These men all prophesy. That's forth-telling. I question whether, once the book of God has been completed, which it is, that the gift of prophecy in that sense has disappeared. The Word of God's completed. But there is such a thing as forth-telling the Word of God. You remember, a priest is one who represents the people to God. A prophet is one who represents God to the people. In a certain sense, for example, when I'm teaching the Word of God to you, in that sense I'm prophesying, making clear to people's hearts and minds the truth which God has given to us in his Word. You see, well, that's a gift of teaching. That may be so, but it's also prophesying. I'm declaring to you the truth which God has given to us. And the Spirit of God takes that and opens your mind to it. So you know, for example, in Hebrews chapter 10, we read, "Yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry." I'm telling you what has been revealed in the Word of God. I could speak to you about the judgments of God falling upon the nations, or the millennial reign of Christ, or the new heavens and the new earth, spoken of in Revelation 21 and 22 and 2 Peter chapter 3. You take these things, and I can tell you those things. And in that sense, I'm prophesying. But the revelation comes through the Word of God. But the forth-telling of the truth, I am persuaded the Spirit of God gifts a man to do that. God can use a fisherman like Peter. He can use a blacksmith like Philpot. He can use a man like Ironside. He uses different men out of different spheres and stations of life and uses them. This is where they're prophesying. They're God's prophets for today, telling us what the Word of God surely says. When I give a series of messages on prophecy, I'm prophesying in the sense of showing forth, telling forth the revelation of God to his people. That's a gift of prophecy. And then there's the discerning of spirits. Now, there's such a thing as believers, and believe me, we need it, of discerning the times in which we live, or what people are, to discern people. There are so many false prophets have gone forth. How we need discernment, especially today. They come to your door and my door. They bring their material, they bring their Bibles even. And they have an entirely different false conception of the person of Christ. And it's easy to discern them because I want to know what place do they give Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ God incarnate in the flesh? This is the first question. Where do they put Jesus Christ? For 1 John chapter 4 says, "Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God." And we're told to test the spirits. And Paul, in his prayers, you remember, to the different churches, he prays for discernment. They might discern the things that are different. The spirit of discernment, how we need it today. You go into all kinds of meetings. Gospel meetings. Religious services. Can you discern whether it's true or not? Even though it may seem very, very wonderful, can you discern whether it's of God or not? So God gives the spirit of discernment. I say very, very much needed today. And then there's the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. There are different kinds of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. And all these must depend upon another for edification. For tongues doesn't edify the body of Christ unless there's an interpreter present. And one of these days I'm going to take up this question of tongues and interpretation of tongues, the question of healing. But I want to get the main thing before you today. All these gifts which we have mentioned are unprofitable unless they're governed by love. That's why he says in verse 31, covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, which are the best gifts? Well, those gifts which are used for the edification of the body of Christ. In fact, when you go up here in verse 28 of chapter 12, God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. The order, tongues, is the last one. The first one is apostles, then prophets, then teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Do all have the gifts of healing? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? No. Nor the Spirit of God is the one who guards and governs our thing. And I repeat it, all these gifts are unprofitable unless governed by love. While someone says, well, what if we don't use our gifts? Then there's a possibility of using what you do not use. We hinder the body of Christ. We're thwarting God's purpose in the church. He's given you that gift for a purpose. And gifts are given to be used. Gifts are given to be used. For what purpose? Edification of the body. For what purpose? The increase of the body. To magnify Jesus Christ, our head. And the Spirit of God is sovereign in this. And yet he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm nothing else but a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Though I give my body to be burned, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have faith to remove mountains and haven't love. The more excellent way is love. And verses 4 down to 8 of chapter 13, you have what love does. I don't want to spend time on that except to say this. God has gifted every believer, and may I say most of us are just one talented people. But I come right back to it. All he asks of you and me is to be faithful. And if God gives us open doors, then the gifts are here to be used. We're dealing with a lot of young people at Multnomah School of the Bible. And sometimes at this time of the year when they're just graduating, they do not know what God's will for their life is. They've dedicated their lives to the Lord. And if you want to ask them, what gift have you got? They may not know. Circumstances pulls out the gift. In other words, when the door is open for a certain ministry, the Spirit of God will guide you through and gift you to do the job. I said a while ago, for example, I wanted to be an evangelist. I tried to be a missionary outside of America. But look at how God has turned it round. And first thing you know, I was teaching. I had led a group of people to the Savior. Now, what am I going to do with them? I didn't know very much at the time. So I stayed up day and night reading my Bible, searching the truth concerning the person of Christ. You see, I had fallen in love with a Savior, and I wanted to know all I could find about Him. So every opportunity I have, I talked about the Savior. And first thing I knew, without even realizing it, I was teaching the people of God and feeding them on the Word of God. It's true I may have been one or two jumps just ahead of them, but nevertheless, as the Spirit of God unveiled the truth to my heart, then I gave it to God's people. Now that's over 50 years ago. In fact, it's way back in 1918, 1919, and 20. It's way back there. And I was really thrilled here a couple of years ago, after all these years, when a man from way up northern Saskatchewan came through Portland, and he said, did you ever minister the Word of God in Canada? I said, yes. He said, I guess you're the Mitchell I'm looking for then. I said, what's the matter? He said, I've been way, way up north, and I have found people way off from everybody, and I've met them, and they've got a fervent testimony for the Lord, and they're living godly lives, and everybody knows where they are. And I said to them, where did he find this? Who told you all these things? And they said, well, you know, there was a young fellow many, many years ago, came through our part in southern Saskatchewan before we moved, and he doted on Romans. And he said he established us in the book of Romans, and we've never gotten away from it. That thrilled my heart after 50 or more years to hear that. You see, friend, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to get down into the book and find what God has for us. And He'll use us if we just put ourselves in His hands. Now, I don't know your circumstances. I don't know what's in your life. But I know one thing. You've got a gift. If you're a child of God in the body of Christ, you've got a gift of some kind. And I suggest you read Romans chapter 12 and look at those gifts. And I'm sure somewhere there you have the gift. You say, well, I've never seen it yet. You go on with God. Just you walk with the Lord, and He'll soon reveal to you the gift that you have. He'll open the door for that gift to be used. Don't try and push it now. Don't try and push it. It may be the superintendent of your Sunday school will ask you to do some little thing for him. He'll do it. Here, for example, we have in Portland real life clubs. That is, we're dealing with junior high school age. Here was a couple of fellows from Multnomah was asked if they would take a couple of these clubs. Well, it was an assignment to them. But you know what happened? After dealing with these kids for 4 or 5 months, they realized they had something they didn't have before. Now, they had it, but now there was an open door to express that gift. With the result, they touched a lot of these kids' lives for Christ and built them up in the faith. And they were thrilled about it. In fact, they wanted some more classes. You see, the Spirit of God had led them into a place, and the very opportunity brought out the gift that was in them. Now, other young people took the same kind of clubs, and they didn't get the first base. They didn't enjoy it too much, but they went ahead and took high school classes, or they took children's classes, or they became an assistant pastor or a young people's worker, and they found out their groove. And you too will find your place as you yield yourself to the Lord and walk with Him. He's got a place just for you, and may you find that today, and the Lord bless you.